talking with Jim Wiesmeyer, of course, with Informa. Jim, let's talk about some of the things that you visited with the Ag Issues Forum about. I thought were pretty interesting, especially the dynamics of this shifting political climate and the fact that Republicans are going to make gains, maybe dramatic gains, in November.
Yeah, they could be dramatic. Quoting Charlie Cook, he says that on the House side, if the current trends continue, he's forecasting 40 net seat gains by the Republicans, and that's the amount that the Republicans need to regain control. However, most of the other election gurus are a little under that. And then on the Senate side, most of the watchers see of a net gained by the Republicans of 5 to 7 seats. They need 10 seats. So it's not likely. It would be like dealing to an inside straight, only getting one card for the Republicans to regain control of the Senate this year. But in the next two elections, the Democrats have a little over twice as many people up for reelection in the Senate than Republicans. Translated into how that affects, it will move President Obama more to the middle, because the only way he can get anything done is to truthfully work with the Republicans or the minority party. And I think that's your initial implications. For agriculture, we could have a new House Ag Committee chairman. And in the Senate, if you have a turnover, it may not even be Saxby Chambliss from Georgia in time, because I think it's 2012 when Senator Dick Lugar, Republican from Indiana, loses his, he's termed out as ranking and chairman of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, and unless given a waiver, he could jump back to being chairman of the Senate Agriculture Committee. So there are implications.
You mentioned, obviously, a change possibly in the House Ag Committee chairmanship. Perhaps that would be Frank Lucas. Obviously.
Yeah, it would be Frank Lucas, yeah. And you would see a different tone, as Frank is very spirited. Actually, much like Colin, he's not afraid to think out loud, if you will. But he has definitely some differences in certain areas in foreign policy. But again, I'll repeat, foreign policy is mainly regional. And I think that's why they have far better cooperation on issues than most any other committees do.
And Mr. Lucas also has a good background in the conservation side, so it seems like they would get maybe a little more attention then.
I think if they didn't in the 2008 Farm Bill, which they did, they'll even get more attention. Food and nutrition, however, will continue to get humongous resources, not only because of the economic recession, but as a result of just the attitude amongst the potpourri of lawmakers from both political parties to always increase food and nutrition spending.
I think he called USDA, Mr. Vilsack, a rather interesting agency to cover these days.
It's the most unusual USDA I've seen in my 32 years of covering agriculture, and that's an understatement. Vilsack is an articulate guy. He's just taking USDA in a different direction. He doesn't talk about production agriculture all that much in his speeches. I hope I'm wrong on that, but I've listened and read transcripts, and he's just got a different agenda. The three areas that they want to focus on are sustainable agriculture, whatever that is, organic agriculture, and local farmers markets. Now, all of those are good, but will that be what you should focus on for the years and decades ahead, not only to supply U.S. Americans with the good, healthy food that they've learned to appreciate, but in a growing world market with a growing middle class? I'm not quite sure that they have their tactics and strategy in place.
So for production agriculture, ramifications on policy.
Well, it can go into where it takes one drought year, a general drought year, to clearly lay a lot of sins of omissions out. It gets into research and development spending. It gets into trade policy. Where if you don't ink a new trade agreement with Colombia, which we haven't, Canada goes down, inks a new trade agreement, and takes about 60% of the U.S. wheat market that we had before. Those are the clear implications that I see with not keeping your eye on the ball for production agriculture.
And you mentioned that we just don't have no trade policy right now.
We have very little trade policy. Oh, they'll say, to be fair, they'll say it has to be enforcement, and they're right to the degree. When you do have trade agreements, you got to make sure that they're fulfilled on enforcement, and nobody's questioning that. But yet, it clearly shows that when you give competitive U.S. agriculture the opportunity for more increased market access, it doesn't guarantee it. They'll usually prevail more often than not. But if you aren't inking new trade agreements, and the EU and Japan and China is going around the world inking these new trade agreements, even President Obama in his State of the Union address, that was one of the concerns that he had. Yet on the other hand, they're not going to approve any new free trade agreements. So they're a split entered administration when it comes to trade policy. But yeah, that's what I say. The U.S. Trade Representative Ron Kirk is the Maytag repairman of this group. A nice guy, but he has nothing to do.
My last question is, you think about kind of a take-home message for sitting here maybe talking to a full-time production agricultural producer, whether livestock or grain. What does he do? How does he protect himself? How does he survive?
Well, for a grain producer, sell into rallies, because you even have wild cards. Of course, the world we live in, with the on the transportation side, the terrorism side, and things like that. You can't go bankrupt making money. On the longer term, again, I'll say a growing world middle class bodes well for a protein crop producer, be they corn, soybeans, or a meat sector. On the regulatory end, the concern is that, especially on the livestock side, that they'll regulate the industry to death. And Argentina is very willing and able with flat ground to put in feedlots. So that's a concern on that. But still, I like to leave with upbeat messages. And the farmer, the commercial operators, be they grain or livestock, are clearly telling me they're frustrated that when it comes to Washington and policy, both economic and farm and trade policy, basically get out of the way. Let me produce and you get the marketplace and we're going to produce for it. And they feel constrained right now as a result of all these economic issues, the fear that interest rates are going up, the fear that they're not gaining market access. In the meat side, we're not dealing with Japan the way we should relative to the market access. So there's a lot of cautiousness, anxiety, I guess, is what you see in farm country.